Kia ora, Kofu Smitho. Nau mai ki te whare, welcome to the House. More than anything else, the MPs in Parliament talk about money. This despite our mother's chidings that focusing on money was in poor taste. But in Parliament, it's not that they're gauche nouveau rich pillocks. The reason MPs go on and on and on about cash is that in many respects, Parliament is the nation's fundraiser, banker and auditor. Among its key roles are giving governments permission to raise money and then giving governments permission to spend money. And for the trifecta, they spend inordinate amounts of time ferreting down into the details of that spending to make sure it was all spent appropriately. And also just looking for things to complain about. The problem is, and I apologise to accountants everywhere for saying this, talking about money can be really boring. It just is. Even the MPs admit it.
They are quite dry, and I accept that, you know, the titles are very dry and they seem like very technical bills, but actually they're quite important in the respect that...
That's Labour's Barbara Edmonds, and she's allowed to call money talk boring because she's a specialist tax lawyer and the chair of Parliament's Finance and Expenditure Select Committee, the people that really focus on the money. But there's a downside. The problem is our aversion to math means we avoid the topic entirely and end up not knowing how it all actually works. And I'm particularly thinking about the government-parliament money thing. But it's actually important, so it's worth having a clue, and that's our goal today. And apologies in advance for the dryness. Let's go back to Barbara Edmonds, who was busy throwing a little bit of shade on two money bills that were passed by Parliament this week.
The titles are very dry and they seem like very technical bills, but actually they're quite important in the respect that, one, you can't spend money as a government unless you have the authority of this Parliament. In the same way you cannot tax without the authority of Parliament, you cannot spend money.
Confusingly, Parliament passes at least five different kinds of money bills each year, and it's easy to mix them up. The first couple are pretty easy. There's always at least one tax bill, which adjusts or confirms tax rates. Those bills are Parliament giving the government permission to raise revenue. And then you will also know that there is always a budget, a spending plan from the government that Parliament also approves. The budget is our second bill. It's not called the budget, though. It's called the appropriation estimates. So tax and spend. That part's easy. After that, it gets a little bit more fiddly because no budget plan is exact. They all end up being adjusted later. And those adjustments are a third type of bill, and one of those was approved this week. And then finally, all the actual spending is confirmed, and that's the fourth type. And then there's one more type, one that was also approved this week. I'll let the Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, take over here.
I thought it might be helpful at the outset to recap for members exactly what these two bills are and the purposes that they serve. They effectively are both ends of a standard part of the financial system and the way that we go about managing the government's accounts. The Appropriation 2021-22 Supplementary Estimates Bill seeks appropriation by Parliament of changes to appropriations and new appropriations for the 2021-22 year that the government agreed to between April 2021, when the 21-22 estimates were finalised, and early April 2022.
Yeah, okay, that was a lot. Let me have another crack at that. Bear with me and forgive the technical language. It is worth it. Remember that every time we say appropriation, an accountant gets their wings. The original budget is called the appropriation estimates. When you hear the word appropriation, just think approved spending. It's the estimates because it's just an estimate of likely spending. That bill that Grant Robertson was discussing was the follow-up that happens at the other end of a financial year, and it's called the Appropriation Supplementary Estimates. It's basically a bunch of corrections to the budget plan, changes that happened along the way. That's not the final wrap-up, though. The final wrap of all of the spending is called Appropriation Confirmation and Validation Bill. That happens much later, when everything has finally been signed off. Every budget-related bill begins with the word appropriation. Parliament's really organised like that. As Grant Roberts had noted, there's unexpected spending that happens. The spending that wasn't in the budget. But that spending isn't illegal because of another more general spending permission that parliaments give governments. It's a separate bill entirely. This one.
The second bill that we address during this particular motion, Mr Speaker, is the Impress Supply First for 22-23 Bill. And this is needed to provide the sole parliamentary financial authority for government spending in 2022-23 until the Appropriation 2022-23 Estimates Bill is passed. As the deadline for the third reading debate on the latter bill to be completed is 4 months after Budget Day, that is the 19th of September in this particular year, this Impress Supply Bill provides supply for the first 3 months of the 2022-23 financial year.
Got that? The budget for the year from July was outlined to Parliament in May, but it isn't usually finally approved until much later. This year, it has to be approved by September 19th, which is very much later because the government financial year begins on July the 1st. Happy New Year, by the way. Now, obviously, from July until September, when the spending hasn't been finally approved, no money can be spent, because that would be naughty, and so all schools and hospitals, etc., will close down. Yeah, no, not really. That would be dumb. You can see the necessity of Parliament giving government permission to keep spending in the meantime, while it ponders the new budget. But wait, there's more.
In addition, it is standard practice for Impress Supply Bills to cover the possible materialisation of fiscal risks and the uncertain timing and spread of expenditure. This Impress Supply Bill seeks to provide sufficient authority for the government to incur a maximum of $30 billion in expenses, $9 billion in capital expenditure, and $1 billion in capital injections.
In other words, Impress Supply Bills also give governments prodigious amounts of walking around money, just in case. And as recent years have proven that almost any crappy thing you can imagine can happen at almost any time, that probably makes sense. But how do they decide just how much extra slack a government requires?
There is a formula that is used by the Treasury when it comes to Impress Supply, and I thought it would be useful for members to know what that is. The Treasury calculates the amount needed in an Impress Supply Bill by initially taking a quarter of the annual appropriations for each vote as an approximation of 3 months' worth of government expenditure. The Treasury then provides for an additional margin for A, items where expenditure may be unknowingly occurred unevenly over the fiscal year, any risks that may materialise in the first 3 months of the fiscal year, particularly with respect to but not limited to COVID-19, any in principle transfers that need confirming in the first 3 months of the new fiscal year, and an allowance for any multi-year appropriations that first appear in the Appropriation 2022-23 Estimates Bill, Mr Speaker. The Treasury also then build a contingency in on that.
Now, that huge initial dollop of cash is not really an invitation to spend at all. It's Parliament saying, here's far more petty cash than you're ever likely to need. Remember, you need to account for it later on.
It is worth noting that this is a very cautious and conservative approach. If we look at the last couple of years, in the 2021 equivalent of this legislation, Mr Speaker, $51 billion was sought, but only $12 billion was charged against the Impress Supply. In 2021-22, $41 billion was sought, but only $23 billion, Mr Woodhouse, was charged against the supply.
Any spending that happens under the Impress Supply permission, but that isn't specified in the original budget estimates, gets included in next year's supplementary estimates. So it all eventually gets specific approval, even if it's after the fact. So, to summarise, Parliament gives government approval to collect revenue, including tax, and then both specific and general approval to spend it. And to make it extra confusing, that appropriation comes in four different flavours. Estimates, the plan, supplementary estimates, the adjusted plan, and validation and confirmation, the actual spend. And as the cherry on top, Impress Supply, the petty cash. Now, if listening to all of that was, to be generous, dry, imagine a job that involved hours and hours of just soaking in it. Johnny Blades has got just the thing.
If you're looking to learn about Parliament, public law or politics, the best place to be is in the Legislative Chamber during sittings of Parliament, right there in the mix of things, but kind of invisible. In other words, you'd be in the Chamber Operations Team, a small group managed by the Sergeant-at-Arms who are always on hand to ensure Parliament is able to conduct its business smoothly.
So we have seats in the Chamber and you just have to keep your eyes darting all over the place. And our number one priority is making sure the clerk is being looked after because they're kind of in charge. And then it's the Speaker. And then after that, we're just looking around at the MPs and they will put their hand up or something if they need us. There's three of us during question time inside the chamber. So we've got a third of the chamber each. One person on national side, one person on the government side, then one person at the back just keeping an eye on the whole view.
Finn Meredith is 22. He's a law and politics student, and for him the chamber officer job is ideal.
So my older brother worked in this job before me, and then when he finished university, he suggested that because I was going in to do the same degree that he was doing, to do law and politics, he suggested that I apply, and this job was advertised on Seek. So that's how I found out, and that's how I joined the job. So we make sure that the House and the debating chamber, when it's sitting, we just facilitate and make sure that it goes smoothly. If there are as simple as if notes and stuff need to be passed around by the members, that's what we do. Or if there are documents that need to be put on the table, like amendments and whatnot, then it's our job to make sure the right documents are in the right place at the right time. 3 days a week, just whenever the House is sitting. And the House doesn't sit every week, so it's about 2 or 3 weeks on, 1 or 2 weeks off.
Another chamber officer, aged 22, is Charlotte Carter, who is studying law, international relations and public policy.
I was just browsing the Parliament website, as you do, and just stumbled upon the careers page and then saw there was a job opening. And yeah, I thought the job sounded really interesting. And I've always wanted to work at Parliament because I've always been really interested in politics and through studying public law, like the law reform process. So yeah, I chucked in an application and a few years later, here we are.
Oh, it's for our studies, it's pretty perfect. And I've been working here now for 4 years. So I've been lucky enough to be here during the whole COVID pandemic, during the isolation where we had minimal numbers. I joined just before the Christchurch shooting. So I was there for like all that historic legislation. During all the euthanasia debates, where some nights we worked until 1:30 a.m. Yeah, I love it because it's pretty awesome to be able to tell everyone that you work at Parliament. And if we have a law paper and it's about what's happening in Parliament, we often have better information than the lecturer does because we were there.
Bear in mind, if they need to be at a lecture, it's just across the road from Parliament.
Yeah, I really enjoy the job. It's really interesting seeing like what I study pretty much come to life and seeing how they all interact in a practical sense. And sometimes a lecturer will talk about a bill in a lecture, and then the next time I come to work, that bill is, you know, on the order paper and the members are discussing it, which is quite funny.
Working in the chamber operations team, you must be attentive. You witness the range of chamber activities, from boring, dragged-out speeches to the intense theatre during question time and debate over contentious legislation.
Yeah. We do have some moments where things are a little bit more demanding, especially like on budget day where lots of documents are being delivered and there's a lot more things going on. But sometimes, you know, on a Tuesday evening after dinner, it's often a bit more quieter. So it does ebb and flow a bit. A lot of the general debates are quite entertaining, and you know, seeing MPs getting kicked out of the chamber and escorted out for being naughty, that kind of thing, just quite entertaining.
Well, I never thought I'd get better at it, but you get really good at standing and just kind of paying half attention. Before I joined this job, I thought I wanted to be a politician, but they work a lot, so I don't want to be a politician anymore.
So soaking up Parliament as it happens is instructive, not just for study purposes. Finn says he was surprised to find that MPs are just normal people.
I'm sure I'm like a lot of other New Zealanders, where MPs were kind of this mythical thing. I'd never seen them before, despite living in Wellington. I expected they were going to be full politicians all the time. But they'll ask you what you're studying, or if they're waiting for their turn to go in the chamber, you'll just talk about what you've been doing on the weekend, about their family, about my family. They all take an interest in what we do, which always surprises me because they've got no reason to ask us what we're doing.
A good number of the staff who work in the chamber team as students go on to full-time roles in the office of the clerk. As well, there have been chamber team members who go on to roles in Hansard, parliamentary law and practice, as well as parliamentary engagement and select committee services on the back of their initial student jobs. You've been listening to The House, a program made with funding from Parliament. Matewa.